Welcome to the Our Community Sermons.
All right, good morning. I hope you guys had a great Easter. I had a great Easter. I was in the sunshine in Melbourne. It's kind of funny. Do I need this microphone?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. All right, let me organize myself. All right. Now, I'm really excited for Paula tomorrow. I've been praying for her the whole week, actually. And it's been a long time of preparation for this. You know, sometimes we prepare for something for such a long time, and then finally it's there, and then we're freaking out, and we're like, oh. But you have prepared well. And so God is going to go before you. I know He's going to go before you tomorrow. And you're going to do well. All right, now, the word I had for today is, I feel like God's given me a strategy for the battle. We are all in a battle every day. And the Bible, we all know Ephesians, it says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against powers and principalities. Every day, in your workplace, you have tough work colleagues. It's a power and a principality that you're coming against. It's not them. You might be in a stressful situation. It's a battle you're in. We get overwhelmed because life is tough. Life is hard. We worry because we get into our head. And the cool thing is the battle has been won. Jesus has won the victory. Last week was Easter. Jesus rose. His rising from the death has given us victory over anything we face in battle. It's given us victory over those powers and principalities. But we still need to pull it down. We've got the access to it, but we need to pull it down into our situation. And often that's the hardest thing. Because we get into our head, we get into our emotions, we get into our worry, we get into our anxiety, and all we can see is the problem. But God has given us strategies. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against powers and principalities. What powers and principalities are you fighting against? What's the power and the principality that your colleague carries when he's reacting to something you're saying? Now, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. Ben was sharing, what was it, 1 Corinthians? The glory of God is in us. Everything we need for the battle is in us, but so often we forget. So often we focus on the thing and we forget the power that is inside of us. So often we focus on our mind and we forget, and we can get into the spiral that then our mind can affect our emotions, and then we have a pity party. We've all done it. But Jesus has won the victory, and Jesus has given us strategies we need to learn and impart into our lives. Now, the first scripture God, there's quite a few scriptures we're reading today, scriptures. The first scripture God led me to was Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Now, you all know 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. But I'm going to start at 28. Now, this is a word from the Lord, all right? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We get weary in the battle, don't we? We get weary in the battle. Now, a lot of you, you are weary right now. You are like, oh, it's hard. I can't do this any longer. The battle, it's tough. We get so weary. We lose our strength. We lose our strength. We get tired from the fight. But what the Lord, what the word of the Lord is saying to us is this. First of all, God never gets weary. God never gets weary. He is inside of you and he never gets weary. 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 And the other thing that it says, and that's a promise. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, if you feel weary in the battle, the promise of heaven is those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The only way to renew your strength for the battle is to wait on the Lord. The only way to renew your strength and to keep fighting the battle of life, which we are all in, is to stop and wait on the Lord. Now, I love it. God never grows weary. It also says here, he gives us power. He is the power we need for the battle. He is the strength we need to draw from for the battle to be able to fight the battle well. And too often, we take our focus off the Lord and we take our focus off the waiting on him and we do it in our own strength. And we fight and we fight and it gets hard and it gets harder and we get weary and we feel like we're losing the battle. And the Lord is saying to us, stop and wait on me because I will renew your strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means to stop and to lift our gaze to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean to look up. That means in our imagination to look to Jesus. In our mind's eye and with our heart and with our emotions to look up to him. Because you know what? That's where our strength is. Not, we can't fight it and do it by ourselves, which we often do. But the Lord is saying, stop, wait on me. I want to renew your strength. This is a promise from heaven. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. It's a promise from God. They shall walk and not faint. So God is promising you in the midst of your battle you're in right now, and you'll be all in a battle. Some of your battles are more intense. Some of your battles, you're fighting against a whole massive army, and some of you, you're just fighting against a few. But we're all in a battle every single day. And the Lord is saying, in the midst of the battle, wait on me. Stop and look up. Put your focus back on me. Look up to the promises that I have for you, which are yes and amen. And I'm going to give you strength. And I'm going to lead you in the battle. And I'm going to give you strategies in the battle. Because we need the strategies from heaven to fight our battles. Because the strategies from heaven give us the victories. If we try and do it our own, which you often do, we're not going to get the heavenly strategy and we just fight and fight and fight and it gets harder and harder and harder. But the Lord is saying, stop. Wait on me. I will renew your strength. It is a promise from heaven. Change your thinking from worrying to what the Lord is saying. That's what it means to wait. Stop focusing on those worries and on those thoughts, but focus on God. What are you saying about the situation? And I tell you what, this is not easy. And this takes work. And this takes decision on us. Because sometimes the worries and the fears and the anxiety can be so loud that it's much easier to listen to that than to actually stop and focus and push that to the side and wait on the Lord. But the only way to win the battle, the only way to get from strength to strength, is for us to stop, to lift our gaze off our situation, off our thoughts, off our anxiety, off our worry, up to the Lord and get His insight and His strategy and His peace. Because fear, worry, anxiety robs our peace. But Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we celebrated Him last week. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the only one that can give you peace in the battle. He is the only one that will lead you through the battle in such victory. And the other great thing through that is, it's going to grow you. It's going to strengthen your spiritual muscle. And the next battle will be easier, and it will be easier. Because we're strengthening a spiritual muscle when we stop in the middle of the fight and wait on Him and look to Him and get His insight and His strategies and lift our gaze off what we're worrying about to His promises and His truth. So, waiting looks like stopping. Waiting, and you know, in the battle, when you're in the middle of the battle, all right, think of a natural battle. It's the stupidest thing to stop, because then you're in danger. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. In the natural, you want to keep fighting, you want to keep going. But in the spiritual, God is upside down. God's kingdom is upside down. In the spiritual, it makes most sense to stop, to lift our gaze to Him, to look away from what overwhelms you up to what He is saying. Sometimes you need to go back to what He has said 3 months ago and you forgot about. Changing your thinking is the waiting, and then we need to listen to what God is saying. We need to listen to what are you saying in the situation. He's got the strategy for everything. He's got a strategy for the tough workmates. He's got the strategies for the worry. He's got the truth for the worry. He's got the truth for the anxious thoughts. He's got the truth, but it's the truth needs to go into our mind and transform our mind so we do not listen to the battle, the fear of the battle. And you would think, I find it hard to listen. It's a thing of trusting. When you stop, when you gaze on God, when you lift your attention to the Lord and you're like, God, I need your strategy. You trust that the thoughts dropping into your mind, take a hold of the good thoughts that are dropping into your mind because they are from the Lord. Take a hold of maybe the scriptures that are dropping in your mind because they are from the Lord. Don't think I can't hear Him because you can all hear Him. But we often doubt, we doubt it. And then we just get more confused and the battle gets more intense. Trust the good things that are coming into your mind is from Him and take a hold of it so you can actually then keep on and fight the battle well in His strength, not in yours. So this is a promise that the Lord has given you. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that stop in the middle of the battle, I will renew their strength. That's the promise from heaven. And God never breaks a promise. I want to look at a few scriptures out of the life of David. Now we're going to go to Chronicles. Chronicles 14, 8 to 17. I'm not sure. First Chronicles. I had only Chronicles written down. First Chronicles 14, 8 to 17. So this is David in the battle. Now this is a natural battle, all right? But every natural battle is a spiritual battle. Why? Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against powers and principalities, all right? It looks like natural sometimes. Sometimes it is spiritual, and we know. Often it looks natural, all right?
situations we are in, people that hurt us, we are really struggling, and then we are in this battle. What do we do? And our heart is resting, all right? Things that are happening in our workplaces, financial things that might be shaky, we are in this battle. Health things that might not be what we want to hear, we are in this battle. Sometimes it can be the lies of the enemy in our mind that is a battle every single day. If you struggle with fear, it's a battle every single day. Now, fear is not flesh and blood. It's a power and a principality that is from the enemy. And Jesus won the victory over it. Praise God. All right, so David is in battle. This is what it says. Now, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim or something. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water." Therefore they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods, there, David gave a commandment, and they were burnt with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching on the top of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gaza. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So what's happening? It's a battle. Now David got king, the Philistines come against him, they're making a raid, and what is David doing? Now this is a stressful situation as a king, all right? This is high stress levels. I have just become king. They are coming against me. What do I do? But David's first reaction is he doesn't react out of his emotion. He doesn't react out of his own ideas. He inquires of the Lord. Now, I tell you how many times if something happens and there's a battle around me, I act out of my emotions. I do it all the time. And then I'm, oh my gosh. And then in the time of half an hour, I can be in my mind and really struggling. And the thing that was an ant is study an elephant. Because why? Because I didn't stop when it first started, inquire of the Lord and get his strategy for it and kick it out of my mind straight away. We've all done it. And this is the strategy to not do it anymore, to inquire of the Lord. What does it mean to inquire of the Lord? It means to stop, to wait, lift the gaze up to heaven, and to listen for what the Lord is saying about it. And then take the truth, the good things that come to your mind, and pray it in and declare it and make it reality in your mind. And that's what David did. He inquired of the Lord. In the midst of them coming, he inquired of the Lord. He stopped, he waited, inquired of the Lord. And what does God say? God says to him and gives him a strategy, doesn't he? So he waits, he inquires, God gives him a strategy, and God says, "Yep, go out. Go up, for I'll deliver them into your hands." So God says, "Yep, go." David follows the strategy from God. The battle is won by the Israelites, the Philistines' defeat. Whew, yay! David would be happy, all right? All the people would be happy, I'm sure. Now then in verse 13, The Philistines once again come against him. Now, we don't know how much time was in between there. There could have been a week in between there. There could have been a month in there between there. There could have been a year in between there. It doesn't tell us. Now, I'm not Ben, so I didn't do an in-depth theological study about the time frame, all right? But there was some time in between. And the same situation happens. The Philistines again come against the Israelites, all right? It's the same situation. It looks exactly like the same battle. What did David do? Again, he stopped and quiet, waited, lifted his gaze to God. Now, he would have remembered the last battle. He would have remembered the strategy God gave him. All right? He would have remembered that. But he still stopped, waited, and asked God, God, what's the strategy for this time? And God gives him a different strategy. Strategy, when you look, oops, don't poke my eyes. When you look, it says this, you shall not go up after them. Totally different to last time. Last time I was like, go after them. No, don't go after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry tree. Interesting strategy. Sounds like a God strategy. Of course, it sounds a bit interesting. All right, David follows the strategy and they win. Now, how often do we get a strategy from heaven and we are in the same battle and we take the same strategy and it's not working? We do it all the time.
Yeah.
And then we wonder, why is it not working? God's given me the strategy last time. You know why? Because the manna from yesterday is not good for today. The manna from yesterday stinks for today. There were Israelites when they were living on the manna. They took the manna, they left it. They're like, oh, we just take two portions. And the next day it was filthy, it was full of worms, it was full of maggots, it was gross. The manna from yesterday, the strategy from yesterday is not the same for today. And how often do we think the Lord has spoken about this exact same situation, I'm going to do this again because it worked. We do it all the time. And then we wonder why it's not working. Why? Because we haven't stopped, waited, and gotten what God actually wants us to do. Because what the same battle today needs a different strategy than yesterday. The same battle tomorrow or in a year's time needs a different strategy than the last. We need to stop. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to inquire of Him and get a strategy. Just a few weeks ago, I had a few weeks, 2 weeks, and I was really, really challenged. I was overwhelmed. I was in the battle. It was not against flesh and blood. And I was so overwhelmed. I came home and I was resting and I was doing it in my own strength. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I took an evening. I put on worship. I went before the Lord. I stopped. And it took me 3 days until I stopped and waited on Him, all right? 3 days of wrestling, of being in my emotions, of really struggling, not sleeping properly, because I was not smart. That was not wisdom, all right? We do it all the time, don't we? And then we come to this, oh, this is so hard. My strength is running out. Oh, let's stop now. Now I'm looking back and I'm like, I should have stopped straight away, all right? It would have been way easier. I stopped after 3 days. I got into the Lord and He met me in worship and I waited and I felt I needed to surrender this thing that was really overwhelming me, and I felt such a release. But the thing is, the battle is still on. The battle wasn't finished. We get breakthrough one day, the battle is still on the next day. The battle kept going. That night I had breakthrough, I had a great sleep. I felt so much better the next day. 2 days later, the overwhelming feeling came back, and I stopped and I was like, God, what's the strategy now? God, what do you want me to do? I remember I was in the car and I was like, God, this is hard. I stopped. I I waited. I lifted my gaze to him. Now, the first night, it took me 2 hours to get the breakthrough, right? And the breakthrough in that moment was surrender. The second time, it took me 20 minutes to get the breakthrough. God said, put praise worship on in your car. I put praise on. I blasted it. I intentionally sang along. I lifted my hands, not caring what the other people around me thought. Sometimes other drivers will think, what is that person doing? And I got the breakthrough for that day, and the burden lifted, all right? But the battle is still on. The battle is still on today, all right? I'm still in the same battle. The battle hasn't changed. Something shifted. The strategy was different to the first time. Sometimes we like surrender. Surrender is always a good start. Sometimes it is surrender. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the praise and worship. And then the week after, I was in the same battle, and I was again struggling. I was like, oh, God, what am I doing? And this time I stopped, I waited, and I'm like, I need to let a friend know. My best friend was overseas, which was really, really hard because she kind of carries me through. She's in me within this battle, right? So I sent her a message. I messaged her, this is what's going on. Please pray for me. And just for me to share with her, it just broke and lifted and shifted. Now, since then, I've been walking on top of the battle, all right? I know the moment will come and the battle will overwhelm me again, but what do I have to do? I then, again, have to stop, wait, and listen to the Lord because the strategy is going to be different. In the moment of like 10 days, he gave me 3 different strategies in 3 different situations. It was the same battle. Because battles, it would be so nice once we got the breakthrough, it's done. But they come and take our emotions over again. They come and take our mind over again. So we need to be aware of that. If you win, if you feel like you won the battle one night, it will try and come again because the battle is still on unless your circumstances change. Don't expect the same strategy for the battle every time you stop and wait and listen. Take the time to stop. Take the intentional time to lift your gaze up to the Lord. That's the time when you get breakthrough. That's the time when you get strength because he says he will renew our strength. That's the times when he speaks to you what to do in that moment. And what he speaks to can be very simple, right? And what he speaks to you sometimes can be taking a lot of emotional and work. But listen to what you feel he gives you and take that on board to fight your battle. David did. He inquired every time. And it's so easy to think, oh, we know what to do. Gosh, how selfish and full of pride are we? Oh, I know what to do. We don't know what to do. God knows what to do. So, in the battle, and you're all in the battle, and some of you are fighting some intense battles right now, don't forget to stop. When it overwhelms you, when it gets in your head, when it gets into your emotion, when it pulls you down, you need to stop. Lift your gaze to God. Because he's the one that's going to give you peace. He's the one that's going to give you strategy. He's the one that's going to change something in yourself. Not necessarily in the battle, but in yourself. That'll give you the energy, the strength, and the tenacity. Is that the right word? To keep going. I want to read one more scripture about Daniel. And it's in 1 Samuel 30. Oops, I think 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel?
No, 1st. I was in the wrong book. That's what happens when you don't have it on your computer. You can just go scroll. Oh, here it is. I love to have the real Bible. All right. 1 Samuel 30. Now, this is a super intense situation for David. Now it happened when David and his men, verse 1, when his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now Ziklag, so David lived with the, in the Philistines territory, and they've given him Ziklag as his town. So all his Israelite people that were with him, Ziklag was their town. They'd gone out for battle, they came back. Ziklag had been invaded and burnt with fire. And verse 2, and they had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices, wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed. What a situation of pressure, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. So this is the situation, all right? Let's paint a picture. They come back. The town is burnt. Everything they lost. Their wives, their kids, all their cattle, everything was gone. Nothing was left. The men come back from battle. They would have been tired. They would have been physically weary. They come back from battle. And this is what they see. A burned out town. Everything is gone. The first reaction is they weep, which is very human. Yeah. All right? They weep. They weep until they had no more power to weep. And then they start talking. Oh, it's all David's fault. We're going to kill him because he put this on us. We're going to kill him. We're going to stone him. He put this on us. All his fault. So they're trying to put the blame on David. Now, David, it says in the word, he's in great distress. He is in a highly stressful situation. His anxiety levels would be high. It's a traumatic situation. Everything is gone. It would be so easy for him to just hide and run away, because it is intense. And then this is what he says. Oh, that verse just hits my spirit. But, all right, David didn't run away. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's what David did. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What did he do? He stopped. He lifted his gaze from the painful situation, from the traumatic situation, away from his emotions to God. Because he knew that God is good. Now, your God is good, right? He knew that God is good. He stopped. And doing that gave him strength to do the next thing. Because he stopped, he listened, he waited, he gazed on God. He got the strength to do the next thing. And the next thing was that he inquired of God. He said to the priest, please bring the ephod here to me. And the priest brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. So David is asking, what shall I do? Shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for I shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So that's the promise of God to David in the midst of that situation. Now that scripture really challenges me. Because you know what I do when I'm in this situation? I would just to the pity party. I would run away. I would cry. I would. But David stops. He inquires of the... He does what he needs to do to win the battle. He does what we need to do to win the battle. He stops. He looks to God. He waits on him. He asks for the strategy. What do you want me to do? And God gives him a strategy. And they recover all. A little bit later, it talks about all the wives come back, all the kids come back, all the cattle comes back. Everything comes back apart from the burned down houses. Every life is saved. Now, why? Only because David stopped, strengthened himself in the Lord, inquired of God, did the situation change? He could have hid in a cave, they would have stoned him, and then what would have happened then? We don't know, right? Because it didn't happen. They would have lost their king, and everything with Israel would have gone down the drain, downhill, right? But he didn't do that. He stopped in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the things. He didn't say, I don't know what to do. He didn't say, this is too hard. He didn't say, the anxiety levels are too high. The stress levels is too high. He didn't do that. And that's what we often do. I do. It's too much. No, he stopped. He waited. He lifted his gaze from the situation up to God. He got back his peace, and he got a strategy when he inquired of God and listened to what God was saying. He got a strategy for the victory. Now, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. What are some things that you are battling with right now? What are some powers, some principalities that you are battling against right now? What are some things that you are battling in your mind right now? Because usually that's how it happens. Something happens and we start to think about it, and then we get negative thoughts, and then we listen to the negative thoughts, and then we listen to the thoughts of worry, and we listen to the thoughts of fear, and we listen to the thoughts of negativity, and then it gets into emotions, affects our emotions, and then we sometimes freeze and we don't know what to do. Now, before you get to this place, when you start seeing the thoughts come in, stop. Wait on God. Capture it straight away. Get His word. Get His positivity. Get His truth. Get His presence. Get His strategy so you can fight the battle well. Now, in the midst of my battle, God gave me Psalm 27. I was living in Psalm 27 for like a week. But the one thing that really jumped out to me was the last verse. Actually, Cherie quoted Psalm 27 this morning. I want to read it out of the Passion Translation. I think I've written it down. Yeah. I love it in the Passion Translation. The last verse. This is what it says. Psalm 27:14. I wrote it down. I didn't bring a second Bible. This is what it says. Don't give up. All right. In the midst of your battle, don't give up. We want to give up sometimes. We feel defeated sometimes. Now, David was defeated in what we just read because they defeated Ziklag, all right? He didn't say it is defeat. He didn't stay in his negativity. He stopped, strengthened himself in the Lord, and got everything back and the situation turned around. God is saying, Psalm 27:14, don't give up. It might be hard. It might be tough because our battles we are fighting and life is tough. Don't give up. And then it says, don't be impatient. Now, patience is not my virtue. It's not part of my personality trait. So I find patience really challenging. And sometimes God is like, And I'm in part of my battle I'm fighting right now has to do with patience. All right? So it's like, we want it now. We want the breakthrough now. God's like, it's okay. It's going to happen in my timing. Just stick with me. Don't be impatient. Don't give up the fight. Be brave and courageous. That's what the Lord is speaking into you this morning. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Your hope is in Jesus. When you look up to Him in the midst of your battle, you look to hope. You look to hope. And this is the hope that you need. And this is the hope that strengthens you. And this is the hope that has the breakthrough in the future. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you. This is, God wants to speak this into your life right now. I really felt as I was preparing and I was praying. God wants to speak this into you over your battle. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. God is speaking to you into your battle. Be strong and courageous. Do not lose hope. God is speaking to you in your battle. Keep on waiting. Waiting means lifting our gaze, stopping and lifting our gaze up to Him, because He's got the strategy. He's got the strength. He knows what would turn your day around. Keep on waiting, because God will never, never, never disappoint you. People will disappoint you. The situations will disappoint you. The battle might not change, but the battle is not. He didn't put the battle in there, all right? Because we're fighting against powers and principalities, all right? That's not Him. He is not changing. He will not disappoint you. If you've been disappointed in the middle of your battle, ask, where did the disappointment come from? It did not come from God. It might have come from your own expectations. It might have come because you wanted something to happen and it didn't. Didn't come from God. If you are disappointed right now in your battle, ask the Lord, God, where did the disappointment come in? Where did I miss it? Where did it come in and got into my mind? Because it did not come from the Lord, because the Lord doesn't disappoint. Yeah. So don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be brave and courageous. The glory of the Lord, which was we heard this morning through worship, is living inside of you. Tap into that glory. That's where you get the strength. That's where you get the direction. Don't lose hope. Keep on waiting, waiting on Him, looking up to Him. The battle will keep going, but keep on waiting on Him. He will carry you through day by day, step by step, until it's going to turn around. And He will never disappoint you. Never. Now, I felt like some of you, you're in the battle and you're like, God, where are you? God, where are you? I can't feel you. Where are you? And God is saying to you, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here in front of you. He is right here. There's some of you here in the battle and you're like, God, I'm getting nothing. It's okay. God is right here. You don't need to feel Him. He is in it with you. He's right here. He's walking right around you, next to you, in front of you. He is right here in your battle. So let's pray. God, we thank you for your victory. Jesus, you have won our battles. And we ask you today for your help. God, remind us, Lord, every day to stop. Lift our gaze to you in the midst of our battle. Wait on you. Get our strategies from you, God. Father, we need your help and we give you permission to prompt us when we're starting to listen to worry. We give you permission to prompt us when we start to listen to thoughts of fear. Prompt us, Lord. Help us, God, so we can stop and lift our gaze to you and get truth and reality and your word for the situation, God. Father, I speak over every single one in this room. I speak to you that God is right here. You might not feel him. He might seem so far away in your battle. You might feel like he isn't speaking right now. God, I want to take the pressure off our shoulders. And God is saying, I'm right here. I just want to love on you. I just see him sitting right next to you. I see him having his arm around you. He just wants to love on you in the situation. He just wants to speak. He wants to speak life into you in your situation and in your battles. Father, I just give you permission to just speak life and to just minister your love in the battle to every single one here, God. And I want to speak over you. I want to speak over you. You're not going to give up. You're not going to be impatient. I'm going to speak over you this morning that you're going to be brave and courageous. You will not lose hope. I'm going to speak over you in your battles that you are going to keep stopping, listening to God, waiting on him. I'm going to speak changes. I'm going to speak shifts over minds. I'm going to speak to lies that you have been listening to that they will break in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak to emotions that are out of balance. I speak to those emotions right now and I say you have to come into the balance and into the peace of Christ right now in Jesus' name. And I'm going to speak over you that God will never disappoint you. So, Father, I just speak that you write that on everybody's heart, Lord. You will not disappoint them. And, God, I just pray for supernatural strength in the battle we are in, God. I pray for supernatural insight, God, that you show us what powers and principalities we have been fighting against in our everyday, day-to-day life, God. Give us insight. Give us strategies to fight our battles well because you are the God of victory. And so, Father, I just declare that over your battle situation that God is the God of victory. God is the God of victory over your battle. And I speak that victory into your mind in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for a week of victorious battle encounters, God. For battles to be won. Fights to shift, God. Situations to move, God. That you help us, God, to walk on top and above, not underneath, God. And so, Father, I just want to release blessing and blessing, heavenly blessing, supernatural insight into every situation we have been fighting for and we have been battling for in Jesus' name. We just thank you for your victory and for your peace that is going to cover us right now. Your peace that knows, that is above human understanding. Father, I release it right now. Your peace over minds, your peace over hearts. That you just come and move right now. In Jesus' name.